We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
Typically, whenever you talk about Jason Hayward, and I don't know why, people rush to his defense. It's hard to play right field in Wrigley.
We're not getting that much rush into the defense with each passing season in that contract. Everyone, I think, is willing to say, well, you start the season with Jason Hayward. Got to give him another shot at making this thing work. It has to look better offensively. But does that mean the entirety of the 2018 season? Does that mean 1 month, 2 months? Does it depend upon how the team comes out of the gates? And if they're steamrolling teams and have a healthy lead in the division, you have the luxury of carrying Jason Hayward like you did in the World Series year, or if you're middling around 500, offensively not everything you'd hoped it to be, you say, okay, enough rope. You got to do something else here, and now you are a defensive specialist.
I don't think it should depend on how they're doing in the standings. I think it should depend on how he's doing, because I expect them to be very good. And I think the expectation, again, for him should be that he's very good. And he needs to hit better, period, end of story. He needs to be better than the guys that you have the option of playing.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and...
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
Bases loaded, two down here in the bottom of the eighth. Breaking ball hit high and deep to left. Back goes Kiblihan. Still going back. Looking up, and it is gone! A grand slam for Luis Robert. And the White Sox, on the extra point, lead 14-12 over the Reds.
How about that for your first spring start? And they're all the way for Luis Robert. Got a hooker and just buried it out there. Four White Sox home runs. And what a nice sight that is for the young man.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley! Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Talking about a curveball there, wasn't it? Uncle Charlie? What?
Got a hooker and just buried it out there.
Okay. All right. Let's clarify.
Wow.
You don't want to bury any hookers.
Is this the Godfather?
People knocking on the door.
Oh, I didn't see that at all.
Got some crime tape up there.
Got a hooker and just buried it out there.
Ah, spring baseball. Catch it. Or not, if it goes over the fence.
I don't know where to go from here. I think it's all uphill. We've kind of buried ourselves to start the show.
Wow. Is that Rich King coming out of retirement?
I believe that's Rich King.
Former Channel 9 sports stalwart, longtime guy.
I believe he owes me money.
But as an analyst, right?
Rich
not
King
as
owes me
play.
Money.
The hooker part was Rich King, not
yes,
the play-by-play.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Got a hooker and just buried it out there.
That's Rich.
He retired to Arizona, right? So he just kind of...
No. I think he went out there to cover the games. You know,
no, Rich has been retired for...
Oh, he's been retired for like maybe a year.
Yeah, I think he lives down there now. But
He does not. He went out. I talked to him. I was... where was I? Where did I run into him? Oh, maybe it was... No. Don't know.
Oh, okay. He owes you money?
He owes me money. He owes me big time money.
How's that?
What do you mean, how's that? The guy owes me money. He owes me money. You owe me money. I made a bet with him. I don't know. It was years ago. I mean, it was 10, 15 years ago. He just kind of expressed that this was it. He was going to retire. He wasn't going to work anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And I said.
He'd been talking about retirement for 25 years.
I bet him 20 bucks. I said to him, like, you're not retiring. Yeah. Like, why would you retire? Look at your job. Look at your life. You know, what do you mean you're retiring? And I made a wager with him. And the guy must owe me several $1,000.
That's true, Biz.
Tens of thousands of
When
dollars.
I was covering the Bulls, every year he's like, yeah, this is it for me. This is the final year. And every year.
And it never happened?
Every year, Channel 9 said, can you stick around? Okay, one more year. Three more years. Five more years.
I'm serious. Yeah. He like, that was it. He was retiring, and we were sitting there having lunch talking about it, and I'm like, you're not retired.
Well, first of all, the guy never aged, right? I mean.
Oh, my God. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, that Rich King looked the same for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, when the professor, Brad Palmer, said he was retiring, he retired. I believed it. You know, he took his chalkboard and went down to wherever. I think maybe he's in Arizona. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he had golf shoes on, so he was going somewhere. Yeah, he did. He always kind of wore golf shoes.
He did.
So you knew he was going to, you know, when
yeah, one
he was
foot
serious.
On the course. Yeah.
And I believe he is in Arizona. Yeah. And Rich made. Spent some time in Arizona, but when I talked to him, he was going down for spring training and he was going to do some Sox.
Well, you might see him down there.
I'll be looking for him. I'm leaving today. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I'm heading down there. I've got I got tickets arranged. I got a rental car.
Got a hooker and just buried it out there.
Oh, you don't have that.
I'm bringing my 13-year-old son. We're going to go watch baseball. There'll be no pitches.
Again,
there'll be no
curveball.
Burying of anything.
Yeah.
We'll just have some fun watching baseball. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, really looking forward to it. I'm going to a Sox game. I'm going to a Rangers at Cincinnati game.
I never knew you were a big Joey Votto fan.
No other night game that night. And then I'm going to see the Sox at the Cubs, which is awesome. Great place to go. And should be a lot of fun. And it's a split squad game because that night it's the Cubs at the Dodgers, so I'll get a look at both teams twice.
Let's play two,
and it'll be fun.
There you go.
Really looking forward to it. Well,
baseball fix. There you go.
Yeah, isn't that great? It's a great way of getting ready for the start of the season. Dustin, can you check? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the White Sox, their last preseason game is like at Milwaukee. That's a great game to go to because that's we went to that for a couple of years. They've done that now. I think a couple times where they played like a final, or maybe I went to a regular season game there, but the preseason game is like $10.
Yeah.
They give you a $10 voucher to go buy lunch. So they get you to go, you know, so
go get yourself a brat with stadium sauce.
You can drive there. It's not very far away. And Milwaukee is a cool town. There's fun stuff to do if you want to make a weekend of it, but really all you got to
do is you'll see the Jake Arrieta tune up.
You think so? I wonder now.
There's stories out of Washington that, Mike Rizzo's like, nothing report. Don't ask me. Could be the owners talking this. I'm not, but okay. You know, keep the storyline alive.
It's really strange.
But if you believe the, common thinking that a pitcher needs every bit of a month to get up and running for his first regular season start, we're about there. We're a little, we're inside that window right now. So I don't know if anything's going to happen in the next few days with Jake, but if it doesn't, does it go into the season for 3 weeks,
doesn't
a month?
Doesn't it seem like I think at this point, and, I'm clearly wrong, at this point, if there is a major injury to somebody's rotation, then Jake gets paid, right?
So, I mean, he's willing to wait on the sideline until there's an injury.
What would you do if you were in that position and you didn't have a gig and you were looking for one? I'd wait and see if there was some kind of
here's the other thing.
Inevitable injury.
The whole idea that he's going to sign a one-year pillow contract. I love the pillow contract, and then take another bite at the apple. Whoever signs him that, whether it's 5 years or 1 year, they owe the Cubs compensation. I believe it's at least one draft pick, if not two. So now that team has to take that into consideration. If you're only getting him for 1 year and say, $28 million, so you overpay, you give him more money because he's here for a year. But now you're giving up a draft pick on a rental player.
Does that expire at some point?
No, it's not like the NFL.
No?
It's once he signs, because he turned down the qualifying offer from the Cubs.
That's a big thing to take into account.
The thing with Darvish was he got traded midseason, so therefore there was no compensation attached. And
money and draft pick is a lot.
Right.
It creates a different kind of narrative. But aren't you surprised? A guy like that, all that he's accomplished and
well, if he's still –
And the damnedest thing I've ever heard is, he hasn't had Tommy John. What?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing?
The teams are, within the next 3 years, he's probably going to need the elbow surgery. It's just a matter of time.
That's rough. And you know what else is rough? Is watching the Bulls. It's rough. Watching them against the worst team in basketball is rough. And watching the commissioner decide that they got to play everybody is rough. And you know what else is rough is the Blackhawks host the Hurricanes
You're rooting for Scott Darling tonight. He needs a little love, a little hometown love. He's struggling. He's no longer the starting goalie, but he's going to start tonight. He got paid, but it's been rough go for him down Carolina. Hawks are out of it. Do you go to the United Center and hope for a feel-good for Scott Darling and 30 people coming to see him, or do you just want the Hawks to put a five spot up on him in the first period and chase him?
Holy cow. That is really unbelievable.
But at least with the Bulls last night, the three guys you're interested in,
they all played well.
Together.
And it,
there were assists.
I don't
there
know
was
that
ball
it,
movement. There was.
I don't know that it put that storyline to bed.
Well,
but it
Chris
it delayed Dunn, it for a day.
Yeah, Chris Dunn talked about it. He said, okay, if I have to be a bad guy, from the final 18, 19 games, he said I wanted to lead by example before I got vocal, but they want me to be vocal. So if that means I have to step on people's toes, nothing personal. But
that's what
I'm
he has to do.
And you know what? Last night, 9 assists. They all got their, 21 points, 22 points.
Yeah, who are they playing?
Well, fine.
You can only play the team in front of you.
Gotcha. And you know what? Right. If Adam Silver didn't have insisted Holiday be out there with his 14 points in 17 minutes.
They could have lost that game.
Exactly. All of a sudden, he made every shot he took. Mm. I mean, you take that off the board, and you have a nice tank loss because the three guys play well, and you lose to the worst team possible.
312-644-6767, that is the telephone number, and we will be right back with what we like to call the 5 at 5. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens has your trusted favorites in cosmetics, skincare, and hair care, plus new premium and exclusive beauty products. Stop by and find what it makes to make you feel beautiful.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Did NBA Commissioner Adam Silver bazooka the Bulls tank?
Oh, see what you did there.
Yeah, he did. He bazooka'd them. There's no shadow of a doubt. He had the old anti-tank gun up, and he just fired it right into the back of the tank, and now they are, what's the Brad Pitt movie where they're trying to stay, they're trying to defend the tank?
Fury. Great movie.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Underrated movie.
I like the reference.
A lot of stuff blowed up. And a lot of protection.
Is that the one that led to the divorce? Was he over there filming that?
No, I think he was already divorced when he was in a fury.
Oh, I thought there was some shenanigans on the set and got back to Angelina. And
there was a rumor that it was another war movie that he made where the girl was. She was a French actress, and she supposedly was
that's trouble
cheating. She was like a spy,
that was Allied.
Allied.
Oh, not a great
movie. Thank you, buddy. I don't know. Never saw it. Did you see it?
No.
But
that's why.
But
probably
she was apparently pregnant at the time and denies that whole idea that she had an affair with him.
Okay.
And she had a child soon thereafter that was from, I believe, she was married to.
Yeah, it's messy.
Hollywood, am I right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And he met
Angelina Jolie on this. Yes, Adam Silver definitely bazooka'd the Bulls tank. But the very fact, you said it, Justin Holiday. Look at his shooting night. He ruined everything. Not only did he come out and play, but he knocked down shot after shot.
He got them all.
He
only took 5.
Yeah.
But four of them were threes.
But that solved the whole issue. I mean, how much did they win by? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Silver, congratulations. You did it. You submarine the boat. Well, no, you couldn't submarine a tank, but you know what I mean. War analogy,
submarine
war analogy.
A tank. That's a missile you want. Right out of the water, right out of the land, go get that tank. December really bazooka'd the tank. Nico guaranteeing wins and following through with the 7-game win streak and that 12 of...
Was the tank on at that point?
Oh, the tank was on.
Okay.
Nico Pezzuca at the top.
That stretch where you actually looked like you were going to be a playoff team for 2 weeks.
The best part about that question is the word Pezzuca.
I see what you did there. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
One night doesn't do it, and if they're both in the lineup, like they're going to be in the next game, bully for everybody. That December run is what got you right out of the mix and right out of the. You had 6-7 other teams who are not going to have a run like that. Never planned on having a run. Probably aren't capable of having a run like that. By the way, Nico, what do you have? Like 26 last night as the Pelicans continue on their winning ways. That draft pick not nearly as exciting as it was at the day of the trade.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, Adam Silver, I mean, again, he has too much time on his hands that he has to make phone calls to a team like the Bulls and start, tell them how to put together a rotation and who needs to be in there and whatever. But, I thought it was more about Robin Lopez, but it was just as much about Justin Holiday after last night. God bless Justin. He's got his shots. There's one thing about playing him 17 minutes. Maybe do you tell him to go out there and don't shoot? Please don't shoot. Please help us out here. Just run. Just go stand in the corner. Don't do anything. Don't break a sweat. But they're trying to win, and they won, and there you go. And by the way, Texter says Allied was excellent.
I didn't see it. You're the one who badmouthed it.
I just let
the record show.
Okay, no one saw it except the Texter. Excellent. Give it a watch, and we will take the Texter's advice.
He almost found a way to lose to that, whatever the hell that is that Memphis has put together. No, I'd love to blame Adam Silver, but no, I can't. They won the game because the core three was playing well together for once, which we don't see too often. Usually one guy, maybe two guys.
That's the first time we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, probably is. And it came against this team. It just feels like they're still stuck in this eight spot. Now they're 2.5 games behind the five teams in front of them. So it's looking like 8 or 9 for the Bulls. So I'm not blaming Adam Silver. Not last night, not against that team.
I'm absolutely blaming Adam Silver for this. It's preposterous. David Stern would have never let this happen. He loves the Chicago Bulls.
He does.
And all they've done
always
for
loved
him.
The Bulls.
He would have blocked the Nico trade.
And for the league.
In the best interest of the game, Nico cannot go anywhere.
And as we talked about a little bit yesterday when we were broaching this topic, where does the line become drawn for the commissioner to butt into each individual organization and say, you have to play this guy. You have to start this guy. This guy has to play so many minutes. It's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, your scouting department's not up to snuff. I mean,
like it at all.
Seriously, you start looking at everything and have thoughts. Yeah, you really could upgrade the trainer. What?
Well, I want the government to stay out of my business. You got to be smarter, though.
That's why you don't get vaccines, right? Because you believe if you get a vaccine, they're tracking you.
That's correct. I don't get the flu shot. That's one of the reasons why.
He does believe that.
I do.
You got to be smarter. John Paxson, and if Gar still has any input, just dress the guys and keep them on the bench dressed. So now you got to dress both guys on the road. You're allowed to sit one healthy guy at home. And Brian, I liked your idea. Like you should have told Holiday, you're not allowed. You can pass, you can start, but you're not allowed to shoot.
Yeah,
unless the shot clock is under like 3 seconds, you're not allowed to
and
shoot.
Maybe
three
need
passes
to,
before.
Maybe
you're
you need
to, shoot.
To tell everyone on the floor not to give the ball to him, even though he's got the ball. I mean, just
right. He doesn't need to be the leader.
Yeah.
That's Dunn's job now.
Call a timeout when he hits a shot.
Yeah. Holiday, you play center and just go
after
park.
You make your first shot, you're coming to the bench.
Just go park yourself in the lane and get a 3 second violation.
I get to talk to Fred.
That's an interesting question, Joe.
What are the odds either Ian Happ or Albert Almora Jr. turns out to be the best Cubs outfielder this year?
Considering that that I'm happy he's going to play some second as well, if you can morph those two guys together, then you've got your best Cubs outfielder. Because you got the consistent bat, apparently, of Ian Happ. And even though Albert Almora found the power yet again yesterday. And by the way, you see the bloody nose wasn't from diving and making the great play. It was just, and Molly, the word, it's the dry, arid desert air.
There you go.
He says his nose was actually bleeding as he went out to play in the outfield, and it was bleeding before the inning. And it just happened that he came up from the play with the bloody nose. It wasn't because he hit anything. So I don't know how you take care of a little saline in the nostrils. Well, just because it's going to be, you know, happenstance, and you know, you play here one day.
Happenstance.
I see what I did there.
Yep. Yeah.
And Elmore, you know, lefties, you're good. Righties, we're not so sure. I guess either one of them could, just because everyone's a part-time player, including Schwarber, and unfortunately maybe Hayward, if things are going the way we think they're going with Jason Hayward. So I would say either have a chance, but I don't think that speaks volumes for the team, because you don't have a regular outfielder. You have about six guys who are going to divvy up the time in three spots. So it won't be like you're going to see all-star ballot type stuff from Ian Happ and Elmora Jr., because I don't think they're going to get enough. They won't. How do you identify a position unless, you know, Happ doesn't show up at second base? But the way Ben Zobrist is going, I think he is.
I think this is interesting. What are the odds? Well, let's see. There's four guys, and one guy's already red hot, and the other guy is young and has potential. And well, the red hot guy has potential too. I think the odds are in their favor that one of them ends up being the best outfielder. I don't think it's going to be Schwarber, even though he's going to hit well.
But in the traditional sense,
as a player.
Yeah, right. But in the traditional sense, you're not saying that guy is my everyday right fielder, left fielder, center fielder.
But I'm just saying best outfielder, best player in the outfield is the way I'm looking at
it. Oh, well, then so are we going defense or offense then?
Well, that's what I'm saying, all around. You're combining both aspects. One guy's an offensive player, one guy's a defensive player.
I said you'd be more than two.
Starters.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that you already have. You have one defensive player and one offensive player, right? And if you morph those guys, you'd have
an all-star.
Well, you'd have a Hall of Famer.
Who needs Bryce Harper?
If you had, let me think.
Ian Elmore.
Schwarber?
No, not Schwarber.
Well, I'm just saying, if you had Schwarber and Hayward.
He's not even in the conversation.
I'm talking about.
He had a Schwarbaum last night.
I know. If Kyle Schwarber, you got four guys to choose from. What are the odds that one of these two is the best of the four? I think that's the question, right?
If you come up with Albert Happ, then you got yourself a MVP candidate.
I think the odds are good. I think one of these guys could turn out to be their best outfielder. And I'm talking about an all-around player here. I don't know which one, but one of them. I think, what, as you said, one guy's a defensive guy, one guy's an offensive guy.
I think there's offense in Albert Elmora. I think,
then he could be the one.
Then he could, if he ever gets the opportunity.
That's the point.
All right, then.
But I'll say the odds are good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. It's going to be one of these guys. I'll count five guys, and Zobrist will be in the mix, and Joe loves Zobrist. But it's not going to be Hayward. It's not going to be Zobrist at this stage in his career. So it's Happ, Elmora, Schwarber. I'd go 77% that it's going to be Happ or Elmora.
Wow.
Does that speak to Schwarber at all? I mean, we're not even talking about him this spring.
By the way, the other thing with Happ is, remember, he killed it last spring.
Yeah.
He had five homers last spring. Last two springs combined, he's hitting almost .400. So I'm not expecting a sophomore slump. It's in the cards, though. But I still think it's a probability, very high, that it's going to be Happ or Elmora.
I think it absolutely will be Ian Happ. I am extremely high on Ian Happ coming into this season for a couple reasons. Not just that he's absolutely crushing the ball in spring training, but for the fact that I think he will play a little bit more consistently. That's really important for a young player. Ian Happ's only 23 years old. He's not going to be 24 until August, so pretty late in the season. And I do expect him to get a lot of playing time, whether it is in left field, center field, perhaps at second base a little bit too. I think there's a very good chance Ian Happ is the breakout star of this Cubs team.
Got to give him 500 at-bats somehow, some way, right?
Yeah, you know, he only had 400 plate appearances last season. I think if you're an everyday guy, you're hoping to get that up to the 600 range.
I thought he had 369 or so, but okay, I'll give you
413 is what I'm looking at here. And I think if you give him a couple hundred more than that, you know, with everybody else clicking in the offense, guys getting on base ahead of him, it's going to be a really, really productive season for Happy.
All right, well, my interpretation, we're only talking about Happ or Elmora Jr. here. Schwarber's not an option. Nobody else is an option. It says of either Happ or Elmora Jr. turns out to. So it's Happ. Happ's the guy because he's going to get more plate appearances then. But if we wanted to expand it, the best outfielder on the Cubs.
That's what the question says.
What does it say?
It says, what are the odds either Ian Happ or Elmore Jr. Turns out to be the best Cubs outfielder this year?
Right. So between those two players.
Which of those two will be
Ian Happ.
Happy was good.
You know what? That's an interesting question.
Can you please name one player you want to see the Bears target in free agency and why?
Yeah, I think I think they need a wide receiver. I think the kid from Jacksonville, I think that's the player they have to target, and I understand that he's coming off a knee injury, and obviously you'll have to give him a physical. But I think that there's upside there. There's potential there. There is the possibility of getting a real fix at a position, not kind of putting in a guy that ran the offense before, so he's going to do well in it. I think they need the chance to get a big time, a big kind of class type player, and he's the only guy that I see that fits the bill. I really think they need help for the quarterback. I was not surprised, but at the same time disgusted by that idea that they can't get the ball downfield. And when you look at pass interference around the league, how many yards it would have cost the team, it was 6 for the Bears because they don't get the ball down the field. They don't make big plays. I know that people are talking about a trade. You trade for a guy and the guy is not a big playmaker. You know, you've got to get impact. And I think that kid could be an impact offensive player, and I'll go with him.
Yeah, that's certainly their number one need. If you don't get him, then you're kind of going down. There's a drop off there, right? So I don't see any.
But
Watkins.
The argument is that you are risking too much. That it's the uncertainty of the injury.
Right. You have Kevin White here. Do you want to double down on injured players and have him unavailable? I'm going with Anthony Hitchens, linebacker, who will be available and is available. Dallas linebacker, play all three spots, had 90 or more tackles, 3 of his last 4 seasons, 25 years old. And Dallas not going to be able to afford to keep him, so the Bears have nothing but money. They have a need, like his versatility, like he's in that prime spot of his career. Bring him on.
Allen Robinson is potentially a Pro Bowler.
Right.
And that's why I think,
1,400-yard season like 2 years ago.
Yes.
14 touchdowns. Yes.
He's 6'3".
Yep.
What do they have?
Yep.
This is the guy. I land on the same guy, Mully. Allen Robinson, even though coming off the injury, the upside is huge. 14 touchdowns that year, 1,400 yards, with Blake Bortles as his quarterback. Come on. Yeah, Allen Robinson's the guy. Some people just put them together, him and Sammy Watkins. I think there's a bit of divide if he's able to stay healthy.
Yeah, I think there's a big divide between those two players. And Allen Robinson, like I just said, 2 years ago, he was one of the best receivers in the league. But don't, easy on my guy Blake Bortles over there, Joe. I won't stand for that.
Bortles facts. Is that you?
No, I wish. A couple names here, but there's just one. Since this is the question, I'm going to say one. Muhammad Wilkerson was recently released by the Jets.
Yeah, that's a shocker, isn't it?
You know, he's 28, so I think he's probably got a couple years left in him. There were some reports of potential clashes with management there. I'm not sure how that's going to go down with this new Bears regime, if they want to handle that, but I think that's a guy you could take a flyer on right there. And other than that, Robinson, I think, would be a slam dunk.
I'm going to go wide receiver. My wide receiver is not 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola.
Ooh.
Possession guy. Don't have to trade for him. Comes from a winning program. Knows how to win. I think he's the type of guy that Matt Nagy would really like. I think Danny Amendola is the guy that the Bears should target.
I knew I couldn't get off this stage without that question.
DePaul AD Gene Lenti Ponsetto preached patience Wednesday when asked about the state of the men's basketball program. Should fans follow her advice?
Oh, well, you're talking to a guy whose team barely got by the Blue Demons, who beat the Marquette Warriors, Golden Eagles, earlier in the season. And Gene Lenti Ponsetto, before the game, pointed to the fact that now after last night's game, 1-8 in games where they went to overtime or lost by 5 or fewer points, and that if they win half those games, they're on the right track, and it can't be turnkey, and Dave Lato's got the thing going in the right direction. I look at that as a, you know, wins a win for Marquette, and they need at least one more against Villanova to even be in the conversation for the tournament. So I look at that as a not so good win for the Marquette program, because I think you should beat, and they had a 14-point lead, you should beat that team by double digits. Anyway, you got through it. Patience is a virtue, but a quarter century of whatever this has been with DePaul kind of flailing around, and Oliver Purnell making way too much money, and there's Pat Kennedy, let's not practice. Okay, you guys don't want to practice, we don't have to, but he actually got him to a tournament. It's tough to take from the person who's been in charge through that quarter of a century of futility. So she might very well be accurate that they are, as John Fox would say, closer than people believe. But I don't think most DePaul fans want to listen to it. And I would say next year is make or break for everybody. If Dave Lato's on the right track, then they should be firmly out of the basement of the Big East and in contention for the NCAA tournament next year. And if not, I think it's time for Gene and Dave and everyone else to say see you later and let's start over.
You know, I honestly believe that their best move is to stay the course and try to give Dave Lato another year. I think they're closer to winning with him than if they try to rebuild the thing and try to, you know, get the recruiting going and all that. I just think that, the program's not in a great place. And to pretend that it is part of the problem. But I think the very fact that she talked about it indicates that there is a problem and everybody knows it.
Well, the new building got them an average of 3,000 people per game, according to the student newspaper. So, I mean, that didn't solve that.
No, that didn't solve anything. But it's the problem that they have is the talent level.
Sure.
That's it. And they're in a really tough conference. And they have never shown that they belong in that conference. They've been a doormat.
She doubled down on that, saying they're in the right conference.
Well, they've been a doormat since they got there, and they probably made a mistake going there. But they're there now, and as I said, I think they're closer to winning with Dave Lato than they would be without him. So give it another year and see what happens. And then as you say, there'll be, you know, change if you don't see progress. But I do think that there's always a possibility. I think it comes down to recruiting, and I think they ought to stay the course.
No patience. It feels like I've been hearing fire JLP for how many years now? You haven't made a postseason tournament. This will be your 11th straight year. Not the NCAAs. Any postseason tournament. NCAA, NIT, CBI.
CIT?
116
MIC?
Teams
K-E-Y.
Make those three tournaments. 116. You've not participated in now 11 straight years. No, they're an embarrassment. They're completely irrelevant. Go up to an average sports fan in this town. Name a DePaul player. Most probably couldn't.
What if he has Eli?
I know. Dar Tucker.
He does not count. Dar Tucker? Zach.
Dar Tucker with the rebound.
That was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
He seemed like he was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
But Zach, God bless him, gave him the NBA treatment when he did anything good.
No. How long must the DePaul faithful be patient? There's been so much patience. Just look at the conference record of the basketball team over the past 10 years.
What would that be?
Well, they were 2-16 this year. Before that, 3-15.
Uh-huh.
6-12 under Oliver Purnell 2 years ago.
$5 million well spent.
So that was great. It's the best season they've had, actually, in quite some time. Whether it's Lato, Purnell, Jerry Wainwright.
Jerry was fun. Yeah, Jerry was a nice guy.
Jerry Wainwright went 0-18 in the
I know, but you know what? He could tell a story in a joke. And I mean, I'm telling you, it was like a comedy routine. His press conferences, that introductory press conference, they should have charged 2-drink minimum.
Well, he's crushing it at Fresno State now as an assistant, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, God bless
you.
Everyone loves Jerry.
Beautiful, scenic Fresno.
Where he was at UNC Wilmington? Is that where he was?
Before he came
to
DePaul?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did well there. They got to the tournament.
But gregarious. Everyone loved Jerry. Oh,
great person.
He even made a tournament with the Richmond Spiders in the day.
Sure.
And then you come to DePaul and it all goes, you know, where. So, no patience. Fire the coaches. Fire the AD. Fire everybody. Fire Eli.
Billy Blue Demon, does he survive?
Oh, yeah.
Get him the hell out.
Billy stays.
Get him out.
Billy stays. The last time that DePaul was relevant, it's like into the 90s. It was number one Cincinnati. Bob Huggins. I forget the guys. Who's the kid who broke his foot? And he missed it.
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin. So it's Kenyon Martin, Bob Huggins, number one Cincinnati at the Rosemont. Listen up. Horizon.
Yes.
Dick Vitale, ESPN, the four-letter network. It was like a manic Thursday or whatever.
Dick even knew he was there that day.
Right. That was the game.
I was at that game.
I was
awesome.
There. It was standing room only.
It was awesome, baby.
Okay, it was awesome, baby. And that's the last time. I mean, I loved DePaul basketball. We had season tickets back in the day. My parents loved DePaul basketball. Went to all McGuire, Cummings, Strickland, Comegys, all those days. That's what they need. They got to figure out. I mean, how did Rod Strickland end up out of New York City? And at DePaul, I mean, that's what you got to get back to. You got to figure that out. But at the end of the day, what matters? It's the bottom line. DePaul did the right thing. They're in the Big East. They share all that money with all those teams that actually make it to the tournament from the Big East. So they make money. And if that's what's important, let's make sure we sponsor the girls' track team with all the money.
Hey, God bless Doug Bruno. Congratulations for winning the Big East championship.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yet again.
Well, Mo, that's a great question.
The Selection Sunday show has undergone major changes since coming off record low ratings last year. Are you okay with the new format? What, if any, changes would you have made, and will you be watching?
Well, let's start from the back. I will be hanging on every word of it. I'm very interested in it. I finally have a horse in the race. I could care less. I don't live and die with the Selection show. I don't care where it's at. I'm surprised that the ratings were that bad, quite frankly, because I thought everybody, what is it? No one wants to sit through the whole rigmarole of finding out where the teams are. I mean, to me, every piece of information allows me to dig in deeper. I'm all for it. I love the Selection Sunday. I love the coverage of it. I want to hear more, and we'll be here. It's on a lot of different platforms, because I can remember watching like coaches shows and breakdowns of the tournament from guys with East Coast accents for hours after the Selection Committee had released its tournament. So yeah, I mean, I'm probably not the crowd that they're chasing, because they already have me, but as long as you tell me where it's at, okay, I'm going to TNT. Fair enough. I like everything they do, TNT, in terms of their coverage of basketball, be it NBA or when the guys jump in on the tournament. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I love it, because I think those guys really know what the hell they're looking at. Maybe they haven't been looking at it enough. That's always the argument, but it doesn't matter. If Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith sit down and watch a game, they know what they just saw. And I love their perspective on it, and I love Clark Kellogg jumping in with them, and I love the whole thing. I'm on board, man. You got me. And this year, I'm more on board than ever. You know, I land at like 12:30 on Sunday morning. I guess that's afternoon. And I'm thinking, wow, I could definitely be at Loyola by 4 if I push it a little bit.
Sure.
And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, I have like to work the next day. Although that would be better. Having me do it in the streets at DePaul, at Loyola, than anything
if
I could prepare
for. If there's a watch
for.
Party at DePaul, call me. That you,
no, there's a watch party at Loyola.
There's
at the
been
Gentile
an upset.
Center.
Yeah. There's been a major error made.
Yeah, they've had to reverse the result. No, I will keep that one under advisement. I'd love to go to that.
Harold Bryant, executive producer and senior vice president of CBS, told USA Today, I don't know why there'd be any uproar about these changes. You know, this show does not need to be 2 hours. And it was just fine back in the day. I can't believe they have a studio audience. Okay, who needs to be in studio watching this? Anyone who has, they'll be at their watch parties at Loyola and all the schools that have a stake in this thing already, or hope to have a stake in this thing. I don't need 2 hours of filler. I don't need you reading all the teams' names first and then getting around to where they're going and who they're playing. But when you're doing 2 hours, I guess you have to fill it, and you think that's suspenseful. You can watch the second hour of the analysis. I mean, I could do the whole show in a half hour and be done with it and be good. And I'll bet you the ratings would go up. You give it a sense of urgency. Get in, get out. And then if you want to have a post-show with the breakdown analysis, do it. But if you just want the meat and potatoes, you can do that in 30 minutes and not have an issue with it. I don't need the 20th reaction shot of kids in the student center jumping up and down. But, you know, everyone's got to tweak it, and it's been trending down the wrong
line. Layla has been in the thing since 33 years. Can't we have our reaction shot?
You can have yours, but I don't need Dukes or North Carolinas or the, you know, the perennials. So
fair enough.
But, yeah, I
as
get
long as
it.
We get our.
I get it that some people – do you really sit there and fill out your bracket as they're coming on? I mean, I look at
– Not anymore.
Not anymore, right, yeah. Joe? I'm with
used
you.
Used to.
Used to. So – You could sit there and we'll just tune in for the analysis if you want to learn about some of the dark horse teams or some of the first round upsets possibilities and educate yourself. But if you don't have a stake in the game, I can't imagine sitting there for 2 hours. Even if you do, I can't imagine you're sitting there for 2 hours and in the studio.
Of course I'll be watching. I watch every single year, so that's not going to change. It sounds like they're taking some of the suspense away where they'll give the teams quicker. And I certainly understand people complaining about that, but I don't know that it's really going to help the ratings. I can see a lot of people just saying, well, I'll just keep that hour or two of my life. I'm not going to stop everything that I'm doing right now, and I'll go look at the entire bracket when it's out there. Or if I really want to watch the entire show, I'll DVR it and then just skip ahead to the analysis.
All right, let me run through these real quick. Am I okay with the new format? Sure. What, if any, changes would I have made? I would make it 30 minutes, Brian, like you said, short and sweet. Will I be watching? No, absolutely not. I have this thing called a cell phone and a computer.
Smartphone.
Yeah, it's a very smartphone, smarter than me. And I can just look
like
this.
Like, really smart.
That's the first smart thing you've said.
And it's because I got the phone in my hand
really
right
smart.
Now. I'm becoming intelligent through osmosis, holding this phone up to my head. I can go on the Twitter. I can go on any other website that reveals these brackets, can give me analysis anytime I want. I don't need to sit in front of my TV and hear, Charles Barkley try to break down a college basketball game when he hasn't seen but maybe three or four games all season long. So you
That's
can
the second smart thing you said.
You can absolutely keep this. Joe, you enjoy it. You and Eli can go watch it.
It's not quite a tradition like any other of the Masters, but I have great memories. I like hanging out with my dad. We made sure we had like an extra copy of the Tribune and the Sun-Times. No pens. We had like 6 sharpened pencils ready to go. They're revealing this. This is the pre. We're rolling on the VCR. Okay, we're rolling on the VCR live as it's happening, pre-DVR. We're filling this. Yes, we're filling this thing out.
Yeah.
And then the studio crew, right? I mean, curmudgeon-y, God, what's his, I can't even think of
Billy Packer.
Curmudgeon-y Billy Packer.
Oh, boy.
But Billy
yelling
could
at
tell you what was going to happen. I mean, I like Charles
He would start
Barkley.
By saying, do you know who I am?
I like Kenny Smith. I like Ernie Johnson. I like the TNT. Stick to pro basketball, okay?
Oh.
I want Seth Davis. I want Clark Kellogg.
Stick
I want
sports.
Rothstein. I want those guys going through the thing. And Clark Kellogg's going to join us at 8 o'clock. That's who I want helping me pick out the bracket. And that's one thing that the four-letter network still does really well. Okay, I will DVR the four-letter network. I will go back and watch what they have to say, help me fill out the brackets, help me survive in advance in a confidence pool perhaps. Charles, I mean, he doesn't even know who's in the West. He screws up who's on the two line. It's a comedy of errors. The whole thing, so they're going to announce the teams in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
First by automatic bids, then by at large. And then they're going to tell you who they play. It's kind of so stupid. Stupid.
All right. On that note, 312-644-6767. Stupid. That's what I get after 33 years of waiting. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.